Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start reading this morning in verse number 23. The Bible said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Notice verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence, we thank You this morning for the reading of the Word of God, and I pray that You might touch our hearts, take a live coal off the altar of God, lay it upon our stammering tongue, and Lord, may we speak as the oracles of God, as we wish we had when we stand in the judgment bar. And I pray, God, this morning that You might touch every heart and every life in this building. Lord, that we might search our souls. Father, we might know You in the free pardon of sin. And if we don't, may this be the day that we'll cry out to You, a true and a living God, and be birthed into the family, and God will give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to use a phrase out of verse number 27 this morning. It said, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Notice these next little phrases, as seeing him who is invisible. Looks like a contradiction. It's hard to say we've seen something that's invisible. Amen. Is something invisible? Is something not seen? Is that right? If it's invisible, it can't be seen. Moses said, seeing Him who is invisible. I'm glad I've seen the Lord, so to speak, this morning. I want to talk about that for a little bit. We think about Moses here, and others have done it along the Word of God. We're going to look at some of those places. The agnostic, he may argue with you. The atheist may argue with you. The infidel may argue with you this morning that you can't see God. Well, I've got some scripture this morning. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. But the Bible goes on to say, but He, the Bible talks about Jesus, hath declared Him who is in the bosom of the Father this morning. Now, I'm glad that I can know God through Jesus Christ. Can't know God any other way but through Jesus Christ and His written Word. And I praise God for that. The sinful sinner this morning, the fellow today that don't know God whatsoever, he may laugh at you when you said, I've seen the Lord. But I want to talk about a few in the Word of God that have seen Him to a certain degree. Not in His full power. May I say this morning, if you saw God in His full strength, you'd fall over as a dead man. You couldn't handle it. You could not take it. That's why God said when He comes to get us, He's going to give us a new body like unto Him, that we'll be able to enjoy the blessings of God, the Shekinah glory or the glory of God that clothes God and around Him. Brother, we could not stand that. That's why God has to give us a brand new body. But I'm thinking about Moses. What's he talking about when he said, seeing Him who is invisible? You said, what's he talking about? Did Moses see Him who is invisible? Sure. Amen. He is sitting out there as a little shepherd boy watching some sheep one day or one evening, late afternoon sometime, and the doctor began to approach in and come in, and he looked over and he saw a burning bush or a bush that was on fire and not being consumed. He watched it for a little while, and it was still burning and not being consumed. A little while later, it's still burning and not being consumed. And he gets up and goes down, and the Bible says he heard a voice saying, "Pull off thy shoes," or "Put off your shoes. The ground you stand on is holy ground." And he began to recognize that God was in that place, and God was in His presence, and he was in the presence of God. And Brother Moses left that place a changed man. Nobody's ever been in God's presence. Nobody's ever been around where God is, but what they have not been changed from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot. He had different ideas and different notions in his mind and heart when he left that place, and he went down, and we'll see the story how that God took him. Now, hey, he wasn't some little young whippersnapper, somebody said. Amen. 80 years old. I mentioned this Wednesday night. Sometimes we have to get old and get qualified and usable of God. Amen. Amen. Moses was 80 years old before God could ever use him. How about that? That ought to help you folks in here that's getting some age on you and think you can't do nothing for God. Amen. I mean, listen, don't put your thumb in your mouth and suck on your thumb a while and think it's useless and over. Amen. It might be if you got that attitude, but I'll tell you, you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you, and God can take you. But Moses never got over that. Amen. I read in the Word of God in Isaiah chapter number 6, the Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And the Bible said he began to talk about it and how that he went through, the seraphims went through, and they began to fill the temple with the presence of God and the glory of God. And Isaiah looked over there and he said, "Woe is me! I'm undone, and I live in the midst of a people with unclean lips." Amen. I want you to know, when Isaiah saw the Lord, it meant something. Amen. Have you seen the Lord lately? Have you seen the Lord lately? Have you? Amen. Think about that with me just for a minute. Amen. We'll see that Moses saw the Lord in the burning bush and was challenged and charged and tried. And Brother God put him out on the field, and he done some marvelous works for the glory of God. It wasn't until Isaiah saw the Lord. Some of you today need to see the very presence of God in your heart and life this morning. You've been to the house of God. You may have been saved and birthed in the family, but maybe you hadn't seen a fresh look at the throne of God. Maybe you hadn't had a fresh look of Jesus in your heart, and by faith you haven't seen the Lord lately. You need to see Him. It'll change you. It'll change you. It'll change you. Amen. I guarantee you, it'll take that old frown you got on your face and put a smile on it. It'll take that dullness you've got about you and put a spring in your step. It'll put a song down in your heart. It'll make you a better daddy. It'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better mama. It'll make you a better wife. It'll make you a better church member. It'll make you a better Christian. Amen. Amen. If you'll just see the Lord one good time. Amen. You said, "Preacher, don't want to get too close to that." Amen. That's the problem with us this morning. We don't want to get too close. We just want to get so far. We just want to make sure that we're in and that's it. But I've seen how the old Isaiah said, hey, I'm ready. You won't volunteer for God to do anything until you see the Lord. It made a big difference in his heart and in his life. They're going to get the dinner. Amen. They ain't mad at me. Amen. Hear me. I'm telling you, it'll make a big difference in you. It'll make a big difference in you. Look in the Word of God and see some more. I just got to think about these little things, got to thinking about it, and it got to stirring me up, and I said, "Lord, they got to be a messenger too in this." I just thought about these old boys is sitting out over there one day riding their old camels around. Amen. In the wilderness or the desert or somewhere. And they looked up in the sky and they saw a little star. Then they got to looking a little bit more and they said, "Hey, have you noticed that little star? We was coming to church Wednesday night and there's a little star right there beside the moon, and the moon was real pretty and bright and it was full." And amen, I looked at that and my wife said, "What's it mean when there's a star beside the moon?" I said, "It means there's a star up there beside the moon." Amen. She said, "I thought it meant something." They said it meant bad weather. I said, "Well, it ain't got no ring around it now." Amen. And she's looking. I said, it just means it's a star by the moon. But them boys got to riding it, almost got to looking over there, and they saw a little old star. And they got to looking at it, and that little star got a little bit bigger, got a little bit brighter. And they said, they said special about that little star right there, aren't they? And they got to look and said, hey, I think we'll just follow that star. And they headed toward that star. And the Bible said that star came over where the Christ child was. And there they were. And the Bible said they went in there and offered gifts. And the Bible said that they got up and went out another way. Didn't go back down to there. It changed them boys. If you ever see a sight tonight or this morning of the Lord, I guarantee you it'll change your life. Amen. It'll change you. I was thinking about in the Word of God. One day Jesus had His disciples. He had His, what we call the inner circle disciples. You heard me tell this before. We always look at the disciples. One of them was a devil, amen. They remind me of church members sometimes. You always got a devil or two around. Amen. You said, you call me a devil? I didn't call nobody a devil. But you always got them around. Amen. I'll leave that up to you to figure out who you are. And then there was nine of the others. There was Peter, James, and John, and eight more somewhere. Where were they? They were what we call just average of the run. You don't hear too much about them. You mention them every once in a while in the Word of God, but you don't find too much about them. And they were just average. Amen. Some of you just average. Amen. You don't want to get no further than that. You're just average. You're just here. Preacher, I got my own seat. I take up my own space. I do my own thing. You just do yours and I'll do mine. Amen. Don't ever stir the boat. Don't rock it. Don't mess anything up. Preacher, just be careful. Don't get on anything that I do. I'll just sit here and mind my own business. You mind yours. Average of the run. Amen. Just them little average Christians. But there were three we call the inner circle disciples. Peter, James, and John. Everywhere Jesus was, they were. Whatever He was involved in, they were involved in it. Amen. They were involved in it. And there He were. And so anyhow, one day, the Lord Jesus just transformed Himself or transfigured Himself. Matthew chapter 17 talks about He was transfigured and there were Moses and Elijah. There they were, appeared before. And old James and John and Peter looked over at each other and said, let's just build us a temple here. Amen. Well, they never got over that transfiguration. They saw the Lord high and lifted up. I'm telling you, saints of God, we need to see the Lord lifted high one more time. Amen. It'll change us. We get in that precious presence of God. I read over in the Word of God, there was a boy by the name of Stephen. Stephen was a deacon, by the way, preached a little bit. Brother, he was full of the Holy Ghost and power, and he got to standing up and telling it like it was. They didn't like it, put him in confines, and next thing you know, they got him out there stoning to death. There he is, and throwing rocks in his face and throwing rocks on his body, and the pain was coming. And old Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father, standing up, giving a standing ovation for the saint of God. And I'll tell you right now, brother, it was a blessing to see the face of Jesus. And as he saw Him, he was willing to die and go on. Let me give you the strength this morning by looking at the Lord Jesus. If you just see Him as He is, it'll change your life completely. Amen. I read some more places in the Word of God. There's an old boy one day had an occupation. He is making a lot of money, no doubt. He is at least pleasing a lot of people working for the government. He is a government worker. I suppose you could call him one of them. And he is on his way down the road toward Damascus and he's bringing in Christians and putting them in jail and taking the men and the women and putting them in the prison house. And he is on his way one day, minding his own business. Amen. All of a sudden, the lion of glory struck him down. And he heard a voice from heaven and God spoke to him. And he got saved on that Damascus road. And that old boy wasn't the same anymore. He went back to the house doing a different job. Amen. Talking about the Savior in the right way instead of the wrong way. And doing more for Him than anybody in this building has ever thought about doing. Brother, it changed him. From the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. Amen. Have you had any kind of experience with the Lord Jesus? Preacher, I walked down and shook the preacher's hand. Amen. That's all you got, preacher hand religion? Amen. I'm glad, thank God, one day something happened to me more than that. Amen. I didn't just shake the preacher's hand. Brother, I'm glad that the Lord took me by the hand. Amen. And like Peter lifted up the man there, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus picked me up and lifted me up by the right hand. Brother, I've been walking and talking for Jesus since then. Amen. Been making a poor example out of it many times, but thank God I've enjoyed it. It made a change in me. Made a change in me. What about you? Amen. Well, what about it? In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, I was an old boy, been thrown out, cast out, thrown away, kicked out, talked about. I mean, he was criticized and ridiculed. Amen. They tarred and feathered him, they said, one time. Put him in a boiling pot of tar, and, amen, or oil or something. And that's what they say, what history says about him. And he lived and survived that. And they said, well, we can't do nothing with this. He's a rough character. He's a real crude dude, amen. And let's do something with him, so we'll just stick him out of our own Isle of Patmos where there ain't nobody. We'll just get him out of our hair. He's been messing up things around here for a long time. Let's just get rid of that old man. Put him out over there on the Isle of Patmos. And he could have done like us Baptists. Put his thumb in his mouth, begin to suck his thumb and said, Oh, everybody treats me bad. Look what they're doing to me and all that. But instead, amen, he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And heard a voice speaking behind him. And he looked around and he saw the glorified Christ. He saw him standing amidst the seven golden candlesticks. And he looked around and the Bible said he fell at his feet as a dead man. Brother, you can't take the very presence of God. We need some people to have a fresh encounter, the touch of God in their life, and to see the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. That's what we need this morning. You believe that? Amen. That's what we need. We need to see the Lord high and lifted up this morning. Yes, sir, we certainly do. Amen. And then I thought about this. I could think of some more places in the Bible. Sure you can. If they saw the Lord in His, not in His full magnitude, not in His full glory. As I said a while ago, we couldn't handle that. But I'm looking in my mind's eye just a minute. And one day they come out and take Jesus. And they bring Him before the councils and they falsely accuse Him. And He said, destroy this temple and 3 days I'll raise it up. And he's talking about Herod's temple. And it took us 46 years to build that. And they begin to bring all these accusations against him and do all of them sort of things. And they brought in some false accusers. And then the crowd began to cry, crucify, crucify, give us Barabbas, let him die. And they took Jesus Christ up on the cross and nailed him there on the cross, put the cross in the ground up on Mount Calvary, Golgotha's hill. And there he was stretched out between heaven and earth. They took his garments off of him in open shame. He suffered our shame and reproach. And there they were. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 27, I don't remember what verse it's down in the chapter. And it said, and sitting down, they watched him there. Some of them saw him crucify the Lord. They was looking, and I could hear some of them as they began to mutter among themselves, as of, what did he just say? And he said, I thirst. And they gave him vinegar to drink. Amen. And they turned their back on him. But somewhere in the middle of that crowd, I see a man by the name of John standing there looking. And I see a woman by the name of Mary standing there. And Jesus looks down and said, Son, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. And she began to see that. And he put her care into the hands of John. And I can see him on the cross of Calvary. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible said that he gave up the ghost and died. And they took him off the grave and went down and took him off the cross and put him in the grave. And down there in the grave on the third day he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And brother, I can see that as those disciples saw that. And it never changed, and never got over it. It made a change in them. Amen. And the preacher preached that one day. And I was sitting on the second row, right at the end of the pew. That old preacher began to talk about an old sinner that's headed to hell. And I began to see myself as that old sinner. Amen. And God gave the invitation to that man that day. And I run down the aisle, bowed in the altar, and said, God save me, and He saved me. And I ain't got over it. Amen. And because He painted a picture, portrayed a picture of Jesus Christ that I had never seen. Thank God when I saw Him high and lifted up. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, What I do, he said? He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. What did he say about the serpent in the wilderness? Moses, you lift up that serpent, that serpent on the pole, and you lift it up, and if they look up, they live. If they don't look up, they die. Thank God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And brother, I seen him lifted one day. I seen him lifted. Amen. The living Savior moved down inside my soul, saved me, and I hadn't got over it since. Amen. Ain't over yet. Thank God I won't get over it till I get to the other side, and then I certainly won't be. Amen. You said, when are you going to get over this? Never. Never. You said, well, I got over it a long time ago, preacher. You didn't get what I got either. Amen. You didn't get what I... Look at that. It did get quiet, didn't it? You didn't get what I got if you got over it. You said, preacher, I wish you'd hurry up and get over it. Forget it. I've been trying to get over it for years. It just gets better and better. He gets bigger and bigger. Amen. I can't find the stopping place. There's no quitting place. Feller asked me the other day, he said, you still preaching? I don't know what in the world they think I'm going to do. Been at it now for 40-something years. What makes them think I'm going to quit now? I guess it's died in the wool to it. Amen. I wouldn't know anything else but preaching the Word of God. I love it. It's a rough job. Every once in a while, I get to sitting back and thinking, why in the world keep on doing this? People just keep on living in their sins and keep on going the same way they're going. It don't look like they won't make no change. Amen. They holler, amen, hallelujah. Keep preaching, preacher. And then they just keep on living in sin. And I sit down sometimes and I say, Lord, won't you just go ahead and take me home? I get out of this rat race. One thing about it, when I get to heaven, brother, I'm going to watch some of you live right. You said, ain't all of us going to live? Some of you ain't going. Uh-oh. You judging me, preacher. I didn't call no names. I didn't point nobody. Did I tap you on the head? Maybe God taps you on the heart, but I didn't tap you on the head. You said, preacher, you trying to say there's somebody in this building ain't going to heaven? I believe there's more than one not going to heaven. You said, preacher, you know who they are? No, I don't know who they are, but I'm preaching to you. Amen. I just see somebody going out while we're eating lunch. He said, I was going to hell. I didn't say that. According to your testimony, you told me you'd go into heaven. I take your word for it. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I believe in a crowd like this, somebody's lost and undone without God. You said, preacher, everybody in here is professing. I didn't say anything about professors. They got them down at the schoolhouse. But some of them ain't going to heaven either. You may be a professor in here. By that, I don't mean somebody teaches in college or school. I'm talking about somebody that professes to know Jesus Christ, but you don't know Him. Been deceived. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning that's been deceived, but I certainly believe that there's some around here like that. Every crowd you ever have. Amen. Well, let's just look at the odds. You said, what makes you think that? Everybody in here is saved. Do you want to stake your life on everybody being saved in this building? I wouldn't stake my life on nobody but me. You said you're so sure yourself. I'm the only one knows, amen, where I'm saved or not. You don't. I was there. Now you know you're saved. You're probably just as strong believing that you're saved as I am, and that's good. That's wonderful. Thank God we'll have a good time together in glory. But I ain't sure you are. But I'm sure I am. Now don't go out and say, preacher thinks he's the only one saved. I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. Amen. If you know you're saved, you're in the clear. Ooh. Dying down on us now, ain't it? I've got my foot on the coffee table. Down in the middle of your living room. How about it? But I know that I'm saved. Surely you know that you are. And you know if you're not. You know if you're pretending and just professing, or whether you're genuine and got the goods. My heart goes out to you if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It does. All I ask is,
look at this thing one more time
and see Him who is invisible. Moses said, seeing Him who is invisible. He left off the things of Egypt. Amen. And went to work for God, seeing Him who is invisible. Thank God you can see Him. It'll make a difference. It'll change you completely. It's bad. They come the instruments. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I know what I see. As the old story is told a lot of times, sometimes it's deceiving. What we see is deceiving. And we don't know for sure. But thank God this morning God knows. And you know. My thought to you this morning, as we're sitting in this congregation, is if you're not saved, this will be the day you'll call upon the Lord. You'll think about it. 541 in the red book. 541 in the red book. Let's stand. Maybe God spoke to you. Maybe He's speaking to you right now.